You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
Welcome back to the Black Is Break with yours truly, KC Lehman. We have a full house tonight, beautiful round table tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris, Rada, Darius, Malcolm, Leisha, Shelby, Tash, and Darylin. And tonight's topic is Bruce Jenner and I think transgenderism overall. Typically, I would start the conversation with my views, but I'm actually going to back off the mic and let the family jump in first and speak their mind.
So, a transgenderism is great. And the Bruce Jenner interview was a demonstration of why it's great. You know, actually, I'm in conflict about transgenderism overall. Because part of me thinks that, like, what did people do before surgery and plastic surgery and being able to have a gender reassignment surgery? To me, that's a little – I'm still coming to terms with that. But I do think that someone being themselves and expressing themselves with the clothes they wear and however they want to identify and whatever gestures and vocal intonations they want to make and feel they represent them, I completely support. But to be honest, I'm not completely resolved with how easy it is for people to say, oh, I was born the wrong way and I can easily have a surgery. And then also I'm curious, how do women who have gender reassignment surgeries, how do they get an erect penis? Like, how does that work?
Send your hate mail to where's your address again, Tash?
Tash is not my name. My name is Chris Lehman. Thank you very much.
P.O. Box.
Right.
Soapbox Jones.
Well, I would just take issue with your use of the word easy. I don't think it's easy for any of them. Or, like...
Touche.
Yeah, I mean...
Not easy, but even available. Like, what did people do 3,000, 2,000 years ago when they expressed themselves?
The same thing gay people did.
And they were miserable. And they suffered.
No, they were just...
I don't know. We don't know because we weren't there. But I wonder when I think about transsexualism, transgenderism, you know, is it how much of it is a response to societal norms, like what society says gender is, you know? And sometimes I feel for those folks because I feel, you know, yes, there's this internal struggle, but how much of what they're doing is a response to what this pervasive mainstream voice says is male and female, you know?
I agree. I think
that you have to make a choice.
I think I would like to live in a world where people could be gender fluid without any judgment to what the larger society says. My only issue is, like I said, is with whether changing your sex, like, I don't know. For me, it's just like, yeah, it just seems a little extreme. Not extreme, but that's a big deal. And I know at the point where someone goes there, it's normally something that they truly want. And, you know, they have ways of telling, like, live as a woman without the gender reassignment surgery for
but
at least
a year.
What
is a woman?
Right.
That's my question.
That's the fairest question, though, is
what is a woman? What is a man?
And how do you separate gender roles from really being a gender? But I think they dabbled in this just a small amount last night in the interview, but they are doing studies right now, and they find that some people actually have, like, I don't want to use the wrong words, but, like, there is something happening in their brain. There is literally a chemical, hormonal something that's happening. And so it's not like, you know, they're just, I want to be a girl today. You know, it's not that. It's really something that is happening in their body. They're not making it up, but they don't understand why. It's almost, and I don't want to, the problem is I don't want to compare it to a disease.
Right.
Because that's not fair. But in the same way that there are, like, chemicals and hormones that cause other things to happen in your body, they're finding that these things might also exist in people who, you know, are transgender, and so, or who seek to have gender reassignment. If that is true, then it's not fair to force anybody, you know, to be something that they don't really feel.
Right.
You know? And I think in terms of, like, what is a woman and what is a male or whatever, I don't know, because I'm like, my question is always, so if a man feels like he's a woman and he's, like, putting on a dress, but he doesn't know why he's putting on a dress, like, what is it about that dress? Like,
right.
If your soul is a woman,
you don't need.
So what's the dress?
Right.
You know, and I don't understand that at all.
No point. So to jump in, okay, so, and I'm coming from just a very traditional, mind you, I question all my beliefs now, but if I'm just looking at the foundation I was raised on, which is a very traditional, conservative Christian background, so the answer to what's a man and what's a woman, one has a penis, one has a vagina, and that's the end of that story. And I think maybe, Tash, and I could totally be wrong, what your challenge is in the what you would have dubbed the ease of being able to change, say, just having the option to change gender, is that it assumes that being born as you are, something was wrong with that choice, or that how you came out, something was wrong with that. Something, you know, something about that was, yeah, somehow that was a mistake. I have a friend who is transgender. We actually discussed that at this table before. And there's a lot, to me, a lot of layers of things that go into her just human experience. Mm-hmm. I think, though, a lot of it has informed some of the choices that she's made, because transgender is where she landed, but I remember when she was 18, 19 and where she started. And it was very,
so
well,
did
he.
She transitioned into female?
She transitioned into male, so I need to
okay.
say he.
Okay. I just wanted to know where she was.
Yeah. She had a very, very challenging childhood. She had some trauma, some extreme trauma that she experienced. Mm-hmm. And as a young adult, I mean, she was reckless. She'll tell you that. He'll tell you that. Sexually reckless. But when she made the choice to become he, it was a surprise to all of her friends.
Including you?
Mm-hmm. And we were very close. But he made the decision to email everybody after surgery had already taken place and was like, this is what I've done, and this is who I am, and this is how I want to be referred. And it's funny, we kicked it right before Isley was born, and I fall right back into my 19, 20-year-old self when I'm with him. So I'm just like, girl, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And he's like, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. But I still see the person who I know, mm-hmm. you know. But I also recognize his challenges, because one day he put on Facebook, like, when you're talking to somebody who's transgender, don't avoid using pronouns, because I was definitely doing that. Just like, hey, hi, mom.
Hey, you.
Hi, love. How you doing? You know, don't avoid using pronouns. Don't, you know, because we're hyper aware that that's what's going on. And I just simply responded, okay. So I try to be very conscientious when I'm in his presence, but he's also very patient with me because our history is long and I, my memory is of that woman. So I'm not making any decisions about the circumstance one way or another. I'm just, this is what I'm thinking as I try to process it. Because I think I told you all before, when I got the email that the surgery had taken place, I cried. I mourned the person who I knew. Because I'm like, she no longer exists in the mind of this individual.
Right. But I think that part is healthy. I think that, I even think that with all of his kids and with his ex-wives and all that, I think that's healthy because he's also, I think transgender, yeah, I think transgender people also have to mourn the loss and the loss of who they were and the comfort of matching their exterior brought. So if you take Bruce Jenner as an example, he has to mourn the comfort of a man, you know, presenting himself as a male, because from here on out, he doesn't have that anymore. He can't, like he said, he's, you know, he, that's gone.
But it's funny because according to the interview, there was no comfort at all. There was, he was masquerading his entire life. He felt like he was.
Well, I'm talking about from society, like from the outside.
Right.
Like his, even though he feels like there's a weight lifted off of him, he actually hasn't really, I mean, there's going to be a huge shift in his life. And it's great that everyone's being so accepting on Facebook and Twitter, and that's awesome. But, you know, we live in a society where you can, we can still walk down the street and somebody call us a nigger. Like, someone's still gonna come at him in the wrong way,
and it's worse because he's a celebrity. He can't hide.
Exactly, and people are gonna say things to him that are there. The jokes have already started anyway, and so he's gonna have to deal with that head on. And that's the kind of stuff that causes the suicide rate to be so high for transgender people before and after gender reassignment. Is that every day? Okay, so after I made my big announcement, yes, my family loves me. Great. Fast forward 6 months, I'm walking through the mall, I'm trying to use the restroom, and people kind of recognize me as a man, but I'm going into the ladies' room, you know, that's when it gets real. And he doesn't have, when I say protection, like, you know, that male walking into the men's room, like, that is, you know, that's that protection that I'm talking about. Who knows how that's going to work out? Because, you know, they literally follow this man everywhere. Everywhere. And he made money off of it. So.
Well, he probably used the money to pay for the sex change.
But I got that impression from the interview. Yeah.
He did say that.
You know. Kardashian, you mean the reality show money? Yeah. But he had like a second. He had a second. Oh.
Oh, really? Concept.
He was the talent.
He was the Chris was watching the Osbournes and said, we can do that. The reason why they got picked up is because he was a pre-existing celebrity and the people are mean and they already knew about Kim and that sex tape. So it was supposed to be like very sensational, like this Olympic, you know, athlete, world's greatest athlete with this chick, you know, with this stepdaughter who, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's how they got on TV.
Well, let me preface my statement by saying that you guys have caught me at the right time in the right year and the right hour with this topic. Because 10 years ago, you know, I would just throw my hands in the air and be like, what is the world coming to? I was also raised in a very conservative Christian background, you know, I mean, with a very conservative Christian upbringing, but, and the definitions of men and women are clear, you know. Not only is a man someone who has a penis and a woman someone with a vagina, but together they can procreate. And so I think when you start talking about what's natural is that no matter how far you go in changing your gender, are you able to still do that in your transition? And so while I may have a penis, does that make me a man and someone who can make a baby and plant sperm? I don't think so. And then while I may get my penis chopped off, and have a vagina, can I now have a baby?
But then are you less of a man if you were born one and can't reproduce?
No. Okay. No, but I mean, just in theory, that from a godly perspective, what God intended as natural. And that's what I'm just expounding on my upbringing. But this changes when you have children and you are concerned about them going out into the world and what they might encounter and who they might become and what they might become. And the suicide being an issue and whether or not they'll feel like they can come to you and talk to you. And I think you just become so much more acceptant of things when it hits home, I guess, when the possibility exists that this can happen to you, this can be your child. But I don't believe that everyone who makes a decision such as this has had a traumatic experience in their life. I do believe that there is it is some sort of chemical reaction, but as a result of what? I mean, when you think about GMOs and the stuff that we eat, we still don't know the side effects, the long-term or short-term side effects of what we eat and what we consume, the air that we breathe. You know, I mean, there could be so many origins in what causes people to think the way they do. And the way I feel about Bruce Jenner is that I feel bad for him that it took him so long to discover who he was and be comfortable in his own skin to the point where he could come out and say, this is me. Because, I mean, truth be told, I mean, that's just years lost of enjoying life and being at peace with yourself. And really, that's what's important in life to me.
And I think that's why I was happy with the interview, because I thought they got that across, like the sort of jail that you impose on people when you don't let them be themselves and that they have to deal with. And I think even if like a few people across the country got that point and sort of saw that, you know, regardless of what your point of view is, if your point of view is imposing something on someone else that is making them unhappy, then maybe you should rethink like imposing those points of view on someone else, you know? So I don't know. I just appreciated that getting through in the interview.
Sometimes I wonder if, you know, maybe it's time to expand or expound on what it is to be a woman. And I don't mean female as in biologically. I just mean like all of the stuff we attach to gender, like
the roles,
you know, yes, right, the gender roles. I mean, because this could lead into a whole other discussion about like
take it there.
What? Well, just in terms of women, like I'm considered a woman with a lot of male energy, and or alpha woman, right? Alpha. I don't like saying female, but an alpha woman, and I feel like when men approach, because they feel there's a certain role assigned to women, it makes them uncomfortable. And I think that if maybe they just expand the horizon in terms of what's possible around gender, around other human beings, and step out of the role that they've been given, you know, like I just feel like we're so limited in terms of what men, who men are supposed to be and who women are supposed to be. And maybe if we address that, there wouldn't be this crisis of, you know, people feeling like they're trapped in, you know, because that actually sounds torturous. Yeah. And that just feels so painful. When that interview started, I'm not going to lie, I was crying the first 5 minutes because you could tell that this person had been battling this thing for such a long time because, well, not just because he was born a man, but because as a figure, he represented the penultimate in maleness, right? Right. He was this conquering Olympian on the box of Wheaties with his muscles. And, you know, so he kind of represented, he symbolized, you know, the alpha male. And so he was just playing a role. He was playing a role from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just, I don't know. I feel like if we just really unpacked and expanded on what we're calling male and female, people who aren't even dealing with transgender issues are suffering because of these roles that we've assigned, you know?
Yeah, very true.
I didn't feel sorry for Bruce Jenner when I was watching their interview. I felt sorry for his wives, for his ex-wives. And maybe because I have a personal experience, not necessarily with that particular situation, but whenever a man comes out of the closet or decides he wants to do this or he wants to live a different life, we always feel sorry for the man, but we don't feel sorry for the woman that he has completely upheavaled her life, that he has had children with.
They all
I'm
knew,
not even
though.
Talking about Chris. I'm talking about Chris plus the second wife and the first wife who thought that they were, you know, obviously marrying the man of their lives or the, you know, whatever the perception of or whatever the deceit was that he initially he went into those relationships deceitfully, whether he was tortured or not. And I don't feel sorry for Bruce. I mean, I have some empathy for him. I do, but I have more empathy for the people that he lied to for many, many, many years, in addition to himself. But to involve all of those people in his tragic story, I just think it's sad. And I feel bad that we don't feel sorry for them.
Well, let me ask a question. And what I'm not clear on is just because you're transgender and have the physical change, does that mean you're gay?
No.
You
women only.
Okay, so.
Gender and sexuality.
Here's the thing.
Right.
Here's
He's
the
a
thing.
Lesbian.
He's
a lesbian.
He felt like he was a woman and he was attracted to other women.
So, okay, yes. By that definition, yes, he was gay. I actually was listening to...
It does get confusing,
but the problem... And I was listening to a story on NPR about this, and they were talking about gender... They were talking about all of it. Mm-hmm. This was a while ago, though, way before an issue even came up with Bruce Jenner. And they said that, basically, it goes from person to person. Because some people's attraction will change. Like, some people stay in their marriage even after they have gender reassignment, right? Some people will start dating the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
It just really depends on the person, which is why I think Bruce was trying to make such a huge, like, separation.
Distinction.
Between, you know,
sexuality and gender.
Right. It's totally different. Because it really just ends up being about, you know, the person's individual, you know, I don't even know if I should say choice, but their choice.
I don't think that's the case. I don't believe that's the case, because I have to believe that as you start taking hormone drugs, then not only does your physical and body makeup change, but I believe it changes your mind. You know, and so is it really an open choice at that point? If I'm taking estrogen, you know, I would think that I would be more inclined.
I don't know if that's
no,
how
but what about
lesbians?
Work. I don't understand. There are people who are there are women who are in relationships with women, and they are women. They're not taking on a butch or male.
No, but we're talking
persona.
About transgender people who
yeah.
are definitely changing their appearance through the use of surgical procedure and or drugs, and so. I'm saying I don't believe that it's totally left up to choice ultimately. Maybe in the beginning, maybe now at this point that we haven't seen that. Or maybe Bruce is just not ready to release that chapter.
No, I don't think, and it's not specific to Bruce at all. I think that, I don't know how I feel about this either. But, you know, sexuality in and of itself is becoming kind of this gray area where I think it's, you know, more and more people are bi. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not about whether or not a man is attracted to a woman, or it's just about, yeah, it's the spectrum. It's about making connections with people. And I think that especially young people are not so connected to being heterosexual as opposed to just like, and no, I mean, I don't mean to make a general, because obviously there are tons of young people who are straight up heterosexual. God bless them. You know, I'm not trying to take that away from them. But I think that there is more of a trend. I just think there's more. I think that people are becoming more open to the spectrum, and not necessarily it being so hard line. Okay, so you were a man and now you're a woman. So you should be attracted to men, which means you were, you know what I mean? Like just assigning gay or anything when you're transgender. I think
this generation is more exposed. And so because of it, they're less likely to condemn people for making those choices. They've come up in a world where they've seen more open sexuality to speak. So more people who are openly gay, openly lesbian, openly bisexual, openly trans than even our generation was exposed to. So for them, it's just kind of like par for the course.
But how does that happen? I mean, you know, it's like, and then I have a friend who's a principal at a middle school, and we're talking about those people who make the choice because this is what their mind tells them to do. But he's told me on more than one occasion that it's a fad in certain circles to be gay.
I'm sure it is.
So what about the people who do it as a result of peer pressure, and it's not really so much something that been eating away at them, or
they probably won't stay that way.
Right, it's the same thing as smoking weed.
It's a fad.
Go away. Sex for the sake of peer pressure. You know, it's like you got to teach a kid to be independent and strong. And
if they're not, they'll eventually stop, or they'll keep going with what they're doing.
But people have a society's
I'm not going to pretend like I'm cool with this now.
You're losing your virginity
because I'm not.
For the sake of peer pressure is wrong on any level. Like whether it's your homosexual virginity or whether it's your heterosexual virginity, you just don't want to be succumbed to that type of influence and not know where your center is.
Kids at that age don't have a center. They're whimsical. They can go either way, whatever way somebody yanks them. I know that it could have been me, I guess. You know, I was a knucklehead who thought I was a gangster. And I mean, really, I mean, it's just like at that age, you're so impressionable.
Are some children who showcase definite signs of just being queer very young.
But a lot of it is attention-seeking behavior, and that's obvious, too.
But some of it isn't.
I'm not saying it is.
Yeah, some of it
is. There's just so many factors that go into
it. But that's one of those things where your kid is going to drink. You take the alcohol away, they're going to smoke. You take the weed away, they're going to do coke. If that is...
please, let's not jump to the coke.
I'm not sure of your genealogical treatment.
But you know what I mean? Like, if you're that impressionable, something's going to happen. You know, it's just... You can't really...
Yeah, but society has an issue now. What will be uncomfortable, and it is for some people, is we're going to a place now where everybody wants, they don't want any walls at all for anything.
Right.
It's just like, what are you? I'm human.
Right.
What that means. I mean, the same thing with, and what's the name, did that interview and people got mad.
With race, yeah.
With,
Raven Simone.
Raven Simone.
Because it was like,
Nobody wants to be defined.
Lesbian? No, yeah. I'm not. Are you black? No, I'm just.
She's a label, though. I mean,
yeah, nobody wants to be labeled. Right,
that's just
nobody
the generation is just open that we can be whatever we want. But people still feel like, okay, like, how am I supposed to interpret that when you're not laying, there's no foundation?
And they're still on this planet with people who do accept labels and
because we don't know. It's like, definitions. You know, it's like, this music. What music are you making? Well, I'm like, this, I got hip hop,
R&B. There is no genre.
You're like,
my music is genre.
Because you're like, where am I supposed to put it?
How do you categorize?
Right. And you can't just, and humans, we need some of that. Like you said, what Bruce Jenner, some of the young people don't probably understand that back in the day, the decathlon was like, you are the greatest athlete in the world.
Right.
Yeah, I thought about that too.
And people just don't understand. Yeah, and you're like, this dude is a guy. He's on a Wheaties box. I heard he just flipped it. I know NPR, they were like, did he know this back then? I mean, I haven't watched the interview yet, but it's just like, wow.
The answer is yes.
He missed all that.
Yeah.
And it is scary that, it does make it scary that you see like videos of 5-6-year-olds that are like, I'm a boy, but I'm really a girl, and I know I'm gay, and you're like, but you're like 5.
Yeah.
Like, how would you know that? And you're like, and people are worried that, you know, there might be one person who's like, I'm feeling, and this is how they turn out, but is somebody else going to take that and just be like, oh, I can do that? And just, it not really be real, it's just a trend, like you said, or a fad, or, oh, like, You know, one son likes playing with his sister's dolls because he is actually, you know, a girl, or one who's just like, oh, well, I like, my sister does it and it looks cool, let me do it. And then you get people that are freaking like, oh shit, he playing with dolls, fuck, I got to deal with this now. And yeah, it's hard to deal with.
Well, because it makes you wonder, like, okay, so if you have a boy playing with dolls, is it because he really feels like he's a girl? Does he have a penchant for fashion? Is he going to turn out to be the next, you know, great hairstylist, Paul Mitchell or something like that? Or, and if it's a girl who's a tomboy, you know, are we automatically believing that she's going to have a question in regard to sexuality, or is just she's athletic and this is just a phase that she's going through? I feel like, though, Roddy, you made a really important point that I've been wanting to get back to, and that's the idea of the roles and the fact that people who are not at all questioning their sexuality suffer because in our society, men do X and women do Y versus people just kind of focusing on where am I strong and partnering with somebody who balances them out. I think they're probably, because like you, I have been told by brethren that I'm intimidating and have always been. I've had men who have found that attractive. I've had men who have found it completely like a turnoff. They couldn't deal. But you have some men who are like struggling to showcase an alpha male presence when naturally that's just not who they are, but they feel like they have to be, you know, and in the company of other men, they need to showcase some sort of power or strength because, you know, yeah, they just don't want to feel less than. And I feel like if anything, I hope that this whole conversation allows people to consider focusing more on just where their natural strengths and abilities are versus defining it by their actual gender. Because I'm a man, I have to do X, Y, and Z. Right. And because I'm a woman, I should do, you know, what are you naturally good at and strong at?
You know, this is the thing. There's this term groupthink.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I think it speaks to how an idea can become pervasive based on how many people ascribe to that belief.
Right.
And it's really hard to decide to be an individual. And I say that because you can go your whole life thinking you believe something, but really it's your conditioning. Like when it comes to religion, exactly, and people's belief in their God, it's like, is that your belief, or is that what you've been taught to believe and conditioned to believe? So I feel like it's really hard to be an individual, period. Forget gender, forget race, forget, you know, we're so limited. Like the whole idea of labels and categories, it makes it easier to explain and express. Well, you know, the black woman who came in the other day.
Exactly.
But it's like, that's still so very limited in terms of who we are as individuals. And it's hard. I think it's actually very hard to be an individual in this world.
Very.
You're discouraged from having any kind of belief that isn't seen or affirmed by a majority. You're a freak, you're a misfit, you're an outsider. If people were more themselves, then the freaks and the outsiders and the misfits would outnumber everybody else. You know what I mean? But I just think that there's such a fear to just be yourself, whatever that is. And that's what I guess, in getting back to the Bruce Jenner thing, like, I don't completely understand it. I don't, honestly. And I'm wondering how much of it is influenced by that person's conditioning of what male and female is. But for someone to stand up and say, this is who I am, I applaud you. Especially when everybody else says, no, but you should be this. And you were a decathlon, you were a man. This is who you should be. And you go, no, this is who I am. Even crazy ass Raven Simone, you know, girl, you crazy. You crazy.
Or if you take someone like a,
go ahead and be crazy, girl.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, Raven's got other issues. But if you take someone like a Dennis Rodman, though, who is, I mean, I don't know if he could ever come out of the misfit category at this point in his life. Freak. Everyone thinks he's a freak. But he did that, right. You know? Even post Bruce Jenner's fame of, you know, the decathlon, I mean, and how did we really treat him? How did we talk about him?
It was a different time and a different era, and maybe we weren't ready for that type of outness. For
he
like
didn't
the time.
Want to be a woman.
But no, but he came out about, like, this is who I am. I'm dressing in a wedding dress, and I don't care. You know what I mean? I wanted to start a beef with Darylin on her point about how she feels sorry for the women in the marriage. I find it funny that the first two wives, who were the ones who were duped, who didn't know from Jump Street who he was, what he liked to do, and what his preference was, had an expression of love for him in this transition. And the one who knew from the jump, you know, well, I don't know what she has to say about it because she didn't give a statement. But, I mean, but there's no pity, especially when someone knows, when you say, hey, look, I love you. This can be our marriage, our arrangement on whatever terms and conditions we set. But this is who I am. And at least the way he painted it, I don't know what really happened. The way he painted it is that he was heart open about who he was with her. And so she took him as he was, but decided to brand him as a certain something else in order to get his money back right.
I think his statement was she said that she could change him, which most women do. They feel that whatever inadequacies their man is experiencing, they feel like they could change him.
Well, then why do we feel sorry for her? Okay, because here's the thing about Kris Jenner. And by the way, I think
feel sorry
she's
for
a
all
G.
Three
like,
of them.
I actually have a lot of respect for Kris Jenner. If she were a man, nobody would be talking about her like this. They for sure a different day.
But honestly, not. I feel
she's
sorry
not.
For him
but
because nobody
I
else
say,
is.
But he
why.
Was going through. He was literally, he had B-cup boobs when they met. How do you meet somebody with B-cup boobs and say, and pretend like that's not happening? She knew. She made a choice.
It's a lot of dudes that got titties.
Rick Ross. Rick Ross is a C cup.
Okay. Not no more.
Okay, he's a B cup.
He's now to a B cup. But my thing is,
real.
But for Miami is real. But no, that's not fair. But that's not fair because Kris Jenner took a risk, and she thought that if he got his money right and they had this certain life, whatever.
Why are you
she
guys
thought,
making so many accusations about Kris Jenner? You don't feel
on.
You don't think that they honestly met and fell in love?
No, I think she was thirsty.
It came out.
I think she was thirsty.
I'm not done
and that was her.
I'm not done though. I definitely think that they fell in love, but I also think that, like he said in that interview, I think he told her, "Yo, I've been taking." I don't. Here's the thing. When you take these hormones, it's not like you get fat titties. You get, like, they're hormones. You're getting, like, women's breasts. He had a B-cup boob. Like, you know, he's had all this plastic surgery. He didn't say, I'm going to be a woman, but at some point.
He was taking hormones when they met.
Exactly. He was literally taking these. He had been taking them for
years.
5 years of hormones. And you going to tell me you didn't know nothing was going on? She made a choice.
I'm not saying that she didn't know.
She made a choice.
I'm saying she might have found out later into the marriage, the depth.
No. She knew before.
She knew before.
You guys are making accusations. I think you guys.
No. This is what he said.
This is what he said
in the interview, Darylin. He said
He said, I told my wife the truth from the beginning, but I don't know if I necessarily believe that.
Well, why would she lie?
Please believe that even reality shows and interviews are scripted. You know, we got this out of this whole Ben Affleck thing that we're going to release what we want to release.
What are you talking about?
Everything.
Yeah. I just don't know why he would.
Just belief that he could be lying. There is a possibility that he did not tell her.
Okay.
There's also a possibility that she said, look, you can tell them that you're transgender, but please don't tell them that you're gay. Not right now.
No, I think that honestly, she said you can wear as many dresses as you want. But I think that when he said, I want to become a woman, which is exactly why he said, if Chris were okay with it, we'd probably still be married. But because he wanted to change his gender, she was like, no. Because Chris was, I mean, I'm not trying to be all, look.
She wants to get the pipe.
You know what, though? I think I have a problem.
This is Tash's
joke. I have a problem with
the fact that
Tash used the word duped. Because when I think of duped, I'm thinking I'm using this person's credit card to, get some treasures or what have you. This person doesn't even know who the hell that they are. They can't even express who they are to themselves. So duped, that sounds like some kind of diabolical plan to take somebody out when he couldn't even come to terms with his own truth. So in that respect, mind you, that's never happened to me. So I don't know what my reaction will be in the moment, but I could see a woman or a person going, wow, for 40 some odd years, you actually been keeping this secret or haven't been lying to yourself about it. That's a bigger lie than a lie you telling me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't feel like that. Mm-hmm. If anybody is duped, it's him. He duped himself because he knew this about himself for years and did not have the courage, which I completely understand, to really be himself. You know, those women are all right. Please, they paid. They got remarried. They got beautiful kids.
And that makes them all right because they're paid and they have family. That makes them okay.
The fact that they got pretty kids,
them Jenner boys are injustice fine. To me.
Women are just, I'm telling y'all.
The Jenner boys are.
I think there's a belief that just because someone doesn't tell you something.
Women are always the strongest one. They can get over it. They can deal with it.
But you're asking, there's no way in a marriage you're going to be like, hey, let me know what the fuck is going to go on in your life for the next 30 years so I can know right now if I need to get in or out. He probably told Kris Jenner, like, she saw the signs. Now, did he come out and say, at some point, I'm going to make the full transition to be a woman? Now, maybe he didn't tell her that.
Well, not how you delivered it,
right? But if you can ask somebody if you see the signs that, now, like I say, if you see a guy like, okay, this guy has anger issues in him. Now, and he's not physically abusive to you. What happens if 5-10 years down the line he starts becoming physically abusive? And you come out and say, somebody like, well, did you know ahead? He must have showed you before you got married that he was beating chicks. Maybe not. But he put out there and she's like, okay. Woman said, maybe he ain't going to go through with it. Said whatever she wanted to say because she wanted to be with him. For whatever reason, maybe it was love. She knew it's Bruce Jenner. Okay, like, okay. Well, and then well, once it really kicked in, she probably was like, you know what? But then, you know, did she wait? When did she divorce him? After she was set? Did she divorce him before the reality show and all
when
that shit?
When it got to be too much, man. When he was no longer laying pipe.
When he was like,
her kids already blew the fuck up before when she decided to divorce
him. But see, we're approaching this from the notion, and I agree with part of what you say, Chris, in that just because someone doesn't come out and tell you something doesn't mean you know. Don't know, you know. You can't live in the same under the same roof and sleep in the same room in the same bed with people and not know things that they don't tell you. You know, mm-hmm. I've been married. I know. I mean, there are things my wife never came out and tell me, but then I was able to put pieces together and draw conclusions and say, you know what, you don't even have to say anything. I know, you know. And it may not have been on an issue this big, but the other thing is that this is not an anomaly. This is not the first time this shit has happened. You know, I have a friend whose father is gay and he's married and he's going to stay married to his wife and she's going to stay married to him. Mm. And for as long as she can remember, he's got a friend who is Uncle So-and-so who comes over once a year and spends a month with them. But he's also at their house for every single holiday spending the night. So this is not something new. Then
it's called progressive.
That's some G shit. That's some G shit. But then we're just coming out of less than 50 years ago when shock therapy was a legal treatment in parts of Europe for shit like this, you know. And so
when you shock treatment here,
yeah. But I'm talking about as a punishment. It's punitive. It was punitive there, like either go to jail or take this shock treatment. You know, and I don't know that that was the case here. I know they've done some experimental stuff, and they've given you choices. But when you're faced with going to jail and spending the rest of your life there or taking this shock therapy, I mean, so when you start thinking about these being the alternatives for people who are trapped with this with the mindset, you know, be it about anything, I just think it's brave, you know.
Maybe it's also time when you talk about the husband with the wife and Uncle Pete coming by once a year.
The uncle's just so much.
Maybe it's time to redefine what we call marriage, what we call union.
That's
a whole nother.
That's the thing.
Because Bruce did say if Chris was fine, exactly. They still, because he still really loved her. Mm-hmm. And
he wanted to have sex with her, too. I don't know if she wanted to have sex with another woman.
Probably not.
Right.
Lesbian or fluid like that. But I do think, along with like really scrutinizing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really scrutinizing the roles we assign to gender, maybe it's time to kind of scrutinize what we consider a union. You know, like.
What do we lose? I'm playing devil's advocate because I agree with you.
I don't want to be in the way when she gets thrown.
What do we lose by having such fluid definitions, and what do we gain? Like, can we do a tally of what's to lose by having like fluid gender roles and a fluid definition of marriage? And I'm saying this just so that like. I think we're a lot of heavy thinkers here that we can come up with.
Well, some can argue that we've lost God's favor.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put God's favor at the top of the list on one. So that's something that we lose. What's something that we gain? Do we?
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
no. But
maybe
we're making,
husbands and
we're,
wives
we're compiling
stay
a
together
list.
Longer. Everybody's Christian, but
maybe,
I mean.
No,
maybe husbands
no.
and wives stay together longer. Maybe
no,
families.
Sure.
Maybe families stay together longer.
But,
or maybe humanity's favor. Maybe we're kinder to people as a result of.
Being truer to ourselves.
Being
maybe.
Truer and more accepting.
Do you really
of,
see that, though?
I'm.
You're asking the question.
I'm asking.
But
yeah.
If I were to play devil's advocate, too. And I'm going back to my grandparents' days. You know, they were married for 60 years. They had very defined male, you know, male and female responsibilities. What each, and they stayed together long. I'm not saying that they were happy, but the point is, so many of those generations, so many of those relationships stayed together. They stay together because they knew their roles.
So the thing that really it comes down to is just that. And this is that right now, in 2015, people are more concerned with being happy, right? And so they're not going to stay.
Which is new.
Which
is new.
Which is new. And so you're not going to stay in a relationship. You're not going to, you know.
Hell no, you're not.
But are you happier because you're out of the relationship?
But I mean, shit, you have people back in the day where it's like you got a woman pregnant. Oh, I need to marry her.
Yeah.
And how many women
yes.
today are like,
yes.
No, you don't need to do that. I got this baby, but I'm not marrying you. But that's what that's what our grandparents used to do. Like, oh, I see this
relative.
Woman up. Let
yeah.
me. You know,
but they didn't.
But that's the thing, though. But they probably would have. But
not when society played such a huge
yeah.
role in form. Yeah, you could not be happy if they were confined to if they were within the confines of their own home and never had to go out. Yeah, maybe so. My grandparents were also married 60 years, and in hindsight. That was the most hellish marriage that
well,
I could imagine.
That so.
And I mean, they were always bickering. They were total opposite. But then my grandmother was hugely dependent on my grandfather because once she got pregnant at 15, she dropped out of school.
Okay, because I was going to bring that up, too. Home
with babies, and he went off to college and got an advanced degree. And so, I mean, in a way, his life continued as he wanted it to, and hers came to a screeching halt.
But where would you be? Where would your family be if your grandparents didn't stay together? I mean, think about it.
No.
Whether they were happy or not, I'm not being critical of it, but they created a family structure. And yeah, the family is the goal so much
to stay together, though. Why am I going to stay together?
You have to stay together to have a family structure. You're going to have a family structure with parents that's not together?
But you know what?
I do.
In this conversation, this is the first time I can appreciate my family for all the divorces that have taken place throughout the generations, because people definitely got out of relationships that they were miserable in.
Yeah.
And, like, granted, the effect is that we have an extremely blended family, and that comes with its own complications. Like, the other to Darylin's point, the children are impacted by the people who choose not to be together one way or another, good and bad. There are some people that benefited. It was like the best thing that my parents are together for one child. And for another child, it was like, who's too young to remember anything that was bad? They don't understand why my parents didn't stay together.
Or if they're old enough to remember, but it was nothing but bickering and fighting and conflict. And
new marriages with people who already have children add other layers of complication to the situation as well. But I just want to say in this moment, I can appreciate them making those choices, especially at a time that it wasn't easy, and coming from such a really conservative Christian foundation. Like, they were kind of like, you know, I know when my parents got married, there were people at the church who didn't, and this is my mom and my stepfather, there are people at the church who didn't attend their ceremony because it was a second marriage for both of them. Wow. They thought that was sinful.
Can I just bring us back to the idea that happy parents raise happy children?
No,
and that,
that's not necessarily true.
No. You're not going to take me back there. I'm sorry, Sean.
Oh.
At that point, you go for it.
Well, I don't mean... Oh, man.
We're open-minded. We are open-minded. Welcome to the family.
So, let me not say happy. I think that the more well-adjusted the adult is in the role of parent, they are able to pass on the tools of becoming well-adjusted to the child.
I might fuck with that one.
I like the way you
work. Okay.
That. Yeah.
Because that's what I meant.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I was like, hold on. I was like, God's about to get eaten. And so I think that all of that well-adjustedness comes from making those types of difficult decisions, and that sometimes you end up selling yourself short, and this is me going back to it. Maybe happy isn't the right word, but trying to reach autonomy, like trying to reach your whole self, to be full, to really contribute to society, to have financial freedom, all of that stuff. I think all of that comes from people making those kind of difficult decisions. And our mom, like our, you know, especially as women. I mean, my aunt told me when she got married, her ex-husband drained her savings account. His name wasn't even on the account. But all he had to do was go to that bank and say, I'm her husband, and then let him take her money. I mean, and she divorced him.
That's what you lose when it becomes more fluid, is some people are not as powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think people are afraid of. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. White people are afraid of losing their power, and men are afraid of losing their power.
Always.
If there was more equality, there'd be more equality. And a man couldn't walk in a bank and be you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We'd be making the same amount of money. Because we still make, what, 70 cents?
Is 70, it 70, Leisha?
70 cents to a dollar? That's to their dollar?
That's too much.
So that's what the fluidity... I feel like if... Exactly. Tash was a good man. But that's what I think we lose when things are fluid. Because we don't have those rigid confines that help to support people's chauvinism, racism, all those isms and stuff like that.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.